Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, hear from one of our special guest speakers.
I have a good message for you guys this morning. Thank you for your support and your prayers during this time. Since this is the second service, basically I could preach all day because there's nothing after this. I'm just playing. I promise I'll get you out of here before the Methodist Church lets out. I love you guys. I love my city. I love the people of my city. And I can tell you that no matter what God has in store for us, that my answer, my heart will always be yes and amen, Lord, whatever you ask. And I pray that yours would be as well. You follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? Amen. We also have Next Step 1 this morning. If you have not gone through Next, it's a great opportunity for you to get involved here at My City Church. We can help you move from the crowd to the core directly after this service. You can exit out the doors all the way at the end of the hall past kids. To your left is our Next Steps class. Teach you about the heart of the church, how to get involved, help you find your place here at My City. If you have not gone through Next yet, today is your day. But without further ado, we're going to jump into Dream Again Part 3. Dream Again Part 3. Dream Again Part 3. I don't know what you've gone through this week, how it's been the last 2 weeks. It's been crazy for me, you know, but we're going to read God's word today. God's going to speak to us. So if you have your Bibles, grab it, wave it up in the air like you just don't care. I brought my Bible today. It's actually under the seat, but I don't need it because I memorized all the Bible verses today. I'm just playing. It's going to be on the screen. I got a cheat screen right here to be able to read that. But if you have your Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, we are going to continue the life and the story of Joseph. Now, what we've shared from Joseph so far is that he had a dream, and his dream was that 12 things of wheat would bow down to him. And then he had another dream that 12 stars, the sun and the moon were bowing down to him also. And the Bible says that his brothers hated him because of his dream. By the way, be careful who you share your dream with. You heard me say on the screen that I haven't told anyone this, and I probably will never say it again. But when God told me, I prepared you for this, now take it, that's something God spoke to me. And I don't go and I share that with anyone, because all it takes is one person to say, how do you know that was God? Or no, you're not ready type thing. No, because I know what God spoke to me. Amen. Genesis chapter 39, where we find Joseph right now is he is in Potiphar's house. How he got there is after he shared his dream with his brothers, they hated him all the more, and they actually sought to kill him. But one brother spoke up and said, let's not let his blood be on our hands. We're not going to kill him. How about we just throw him into a pit? We find out what we're going to do later. So they throw him into a pit. That's actually really good because the Bible goes on later and says how he was yelling and crying out for us continually for us to get out. It says that later on. But we threw him into the pit, and then a caravan that was going to Egypt came by, and they're like, well, hey, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him off into slavery. And that was the last they saw of Joseph. Joseph went off to Egypt, was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was in charge of all the soldiers that kept Pharaoh safe around Egypt, in and around Egypt. He was the captain of the guard. Now, Joseph, being sold into slavery, worked his way up into prominence under Pharaoh. He worked his way up so far that he was second in command over the captain of the guard, that he took care of everything. The Bible says that Pharaoh didn't need to think about anything because Joseph took care of it. Now, if you were in Joseph's shoes, you had to be thinking, God, this is the fulfillment of the dream that you showed me years ago when I was younger. So here we are, Joseph's taking care of Potiphar's house, and that's where it picks up in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. It says this, one day he, being Joseph, went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. Now be careful, remember that. Hey, it's about being above reproach, that if you're working alone and there's another girl working alone, hey, it's like, you know what, I'm not even gonna leave room for any kind of accusation or anything to happen. You know, it's about being above reproach. But it says that she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw, I lost my place. Where was I? Oh, maybe I went too far. I don't know where he is. All right, well, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. Yeah, sure you did. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this very same story. That Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is your slave, how he's treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. If you have your Bible, leave that open. We're going to revisit it at the end of this story. But today I want to speak to you on this topic or this thought. I thought you were gonna. For some of the more scholarly Christians in here, you can call this sermon, What to Do with Failed Expectations. What to Do with Failed Expectations. Would you pray with me today? God, we love you so much. God, we thank you, God, for who you are, that your word is truth, your word is strong, your word is powerful. It is sent to divide bone and marrow. God, I pray that the words that I speak today would not be words of human thought and human wisdom, God, but it would be you speaking through me, that none of your words would return void. God, I pray for power and authority to come out of my mouth, God, that I am merely a vessel, God, here for your use. God, that you would speak to people's hearts, you'd speak to their situations. Let it not be just words that fall on deaf ears, God, but let it carry authority and power to change their circumstances, to change their mindset, to change their perspective on what they're going through, Lord. I pray that you'd be here with us and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you're excited to be in church today, can you put your hands together? Are you expecting this morning? No? You're not expecting? Because it's important to be expecting when you come to church. It absolutely is. Turn to the person next to you and ask them that question. Are you expecting? You don't have to use that pitch. Turn to your next neighbor and ask him, are you expecting? Because expectations are contagious. If you have someone that's excited about something, like the Chiefs winning today, if you're excited about something, expectations are contagious. But a lack, go Bills. I'm excited that the Bills are in the playoffs. First time, was that it? But can I tell you also that a lack of expectation is also contagious? And that's why it's important that you're sitting next to the right person today. Expectation can be contagious. Lack of expectation can be contagious. You want someone on the edge of their seat sitting next to you, not someone who's on their phone the whole time, playing Candy Crush or whatever game is popular nowadays. I wouldn't know. I don't play those. I read my Bible in my spare time. I'm just playing. I watch YouTube and read my Bible as well. But expectations are important. What are you expecting today? What do you do when your expectations aren't met? Now, I'm not setting you up or myself up for a possible failure today. I'm hoping that this word is impactful. I'm not saying like, hey, yeah, you don't have high expectations because I'm going to fail you today. I'm not saying that. But what do you do when your expectations are not met? We look at the life and the story of Joseph. He was thinking, God, this is the opportunity that you spoke to me when I was a little boy. This is coming. This is my chance. Only to be thrown into prison. What do you do when you feel like God spoke something to you only to see it go a different route? What do you do? What do you do when your expectations are not met? Now, it's not so much that the circumstance that you're facing is what's in the back of your head. You're not looking at the circumstance thinking, oh, it's just because my expectations aren't met. Ultimately, in the back of your head, you are asking this question. God, are you in control? God, are you in control? That's ultimately when you get to the deep root of things, you are asking that question, God, are you in control? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what Joseph felt, what he thought, what he did. It doesn't tell us. All it says is that he was thrown into prison. But if we look at Joseph from a human perspective, I mean, dude was human. I mean, naturally, your tendency, your thought process would be, God, What is this? What is this, God? A natural human tendency would be to question God. So do not put that out of the picture. However, we cannot put scripture into this and say, this is how Joseph thought. It's a dangerous place when you do that. You can give your opinion, but let me share with you a New Testament correlation that we have where someone was let down by Jesus, had a false expectation or a failed expectation of Jesus, and that's my man, John the Baptist. Who all knows who John the Baptist is? Now, when I say John the Baptist, I don't mean his denomination. Otherwise, you'd be thinking like Peter the Presbyterian or Mark the Methodist or Paul the Pentecostal. No, he's John the Baptist because he baptized people. He baptized people. And John had this message when he went to speak to people. And his message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your ways, because the kingdom is coming. Repent. John was very straightforward. John was resolute when he spoke. In this day and age, in this PC culture, he definitely would have been banned or frozen on social media. That's all I'm saying. He definitely would have been. They would have been like, nope. But I'm speaking the truth. Nope. Definitely would have been. So John was a guy that said it straight up, but we see that John was kind of questioning what Jesus was doing. Because he thought, Jesus, I thought you were gonna, but now you're. So let's pick up in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Now read this. It says, when John was in prison, who was in prison? John, who was in prison? Remember that. It's going to be very important till the end. I don't just kind of tee up stuff and then just leave you. So remember that. Who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, being Jesus. He sent his disciples to ask him. Over 100 miles they had to go to ask him this question. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Now, to understand John's disappointment, you have to first understand his expectation, correct? Because you cannot have a failed expectation without one. You can't have a disappointment without an expectation. So if you look at the Jewish culture of that time, they knew that the Messiah was coming, but throughout scripture, the disciples said to Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom to its glory? And so the Jews' perception of what Jesus and the Messiah was going to do was to free them from Roman oppression so that they could freely worship God, basically establish a kingdom, a physical kingdom, where he would rule and reign. That's what the Jews thought he was going to do. Now, when John the Baptist was born, he was born into this culture, this mindset. The first time he encounters Jesus, he's actually in the belly of his mother Elizabeth, and her niece Mary comes. You know Mary from Mary, did you know, from Christmas. But Mary had Jesus in her belly, and the Bible says that John leaped for joy inside Elizabeth's stomach. Leaped for joy. That's the first encounter John the Baptist had with Jesus. But then we go on a little further. We understand that, hey, John's looking at it through the same lens the Jews are, that this is what Jesus the Messiah has came to do, establish his kingdom. So we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 3, where John is going around talking about repentance. And right before Jesus gets baptized, this is kind of where it goes. Matthew 3 verse 11, this is John the Baptist talking. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Winnowing fork, it's what they use to separate the wheat from the chaff. What they do is they throw it on there and they toss it up the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away and the wheat would stay on the fork, and then they'd burn the chaff up. So he's going around proclaiming, this is what the Messiah is going to do. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to burn all y'all up if you don't repent right now and turn to God. I mean, that's literally what he said. And then John sends his disciples to Jesus basically asking that question. God? I mean, I was just wondering because I kind of told everyone, you know, about the fork and, you know, and all that, like, are you really the one? Or should we expect someone else? In other words, he was saying the words, I thought you were gonna. Have you ever thought God was gonna? I mean, be honest, have you ever thought God was gonna? I have. I guess all you guys are just, life must be perfect, huh? Because that's what it sounds like. Have you ever thought God was gonna? I'm sure you have. John is sending his disciples to Jesus saying, Jesus, I thought you were gonna, but no. And now watch what Jesus says back to his disciples. He says this, Matthew 11, this is right after his disciples asked Jesus the question, are you really the one or should we expect someone else? It says this, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, John's not questioning Jesus. He's not denying him. I mean, you wouldn't openly deny Jesus. But in the back of your head, in situations in your life, whether your kids, your work, this church, you're wondering, God, I thought you were gonna. And so Jesus tells his disciples to go back to John and say, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Go tell John that. You know what's not in there? The fork and the fire. The fork and the fire. John is just like, just checking, Jesus. Where's the fork? Where's the fire? You know, WTF. Have you ever had a moment with God where you're like, God, where's the fork? Where's the fire? John is having a WTF moment with God right now. Go ahead and walk out if you want, but if you were really honest, you've had those thoughts too. So what is John gonna do? Let me tell you that, what if God did not want to meet your expectations because he wanted to exceed them? Bible says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. But here's the thing, when we have failed expectations, this is what can happen, is you have a choice to make. There's a pivotal decision every time you come across a failed expectations. It's either you look at it through God's eyes or you look at it through your own eyes. And this is the truth. It says, the way God grows our faith is through disappointment. But the same is also true, that the devil destroys our faith through disappointment. And let me tell you, it is what you make of it. That you can go through trial and tribulation one after another. Well, why did this happen to me when I was in junior high? Why did this happen to me in high school? Why did this happen to me at my first job? Why did this happen to me at my first relationship? Why is this happening to me in my marriage? And you can look at all those things and be like, you know what? God wasn't in there at all. She kind of got what I did there, but God wasn't in there at all. Maybe God's not even real because he didn't show up then. Or you can look at it as that what I went through, although the devil is meaning it for evil, God is using it to grow me, to strengthen me, so that in the end I can look back and see how faithful God was. That even though I went through the valley of the shadow of death, he was with me. He was there to comfort me. It's all in your perspective. But let's throw that verse back up there, Matthew 11:4. Go back and report to John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus didn't just make this up. He's actually quoting from when he first began his ministry, he went into the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. And we find that in Luke chapter 4. And you know what is not in this that is found in Luke chapter 4? Where was John at? John was in prison. You know what's in Luke chapter 4 that's not in Matthew 11? Freedom for the prisoners. Go ahead, look it up. I'm right about this. I know I'm right. Anyone who's got a Bible in here? Kaylee got a Bible. Open your Bible up. Open up to Luke chapter 4. It's like 17, 18. Jesus walks into the temple, and he basically just starts reading from the prophet Isaiah. Do you have it? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Read it. Start at like 17 here. Yeah. Yeah, 17.
Oh, it's one of those message Bibles, isn't it? Or no?
And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives."
What was that?
Release to the captives.
Release to the captives. Where's that? John's in prison and he's like, "Jesus, you said you, I thought you were gonna, but why aren't you?" What do you do when God fails your expectations? What do you do when what you see and what you look at right now does not make sense? Where does your hope lie? Where does your trust lie? Does it lie in the strength of man, in human ability, or do you believe that God has a greater plan? If anyone's ever looking to like preach or teach people, there's power and truth in the tension. Like I could come up to you and you guys could have came, sat down, and I could have just been like, "You know what, guys? God is good. And all the time, God is good. That's good. That's great. But it ain't nothing but a little sugar high. It won't carry you till Tuesday." But if I come to you and I say, "God is good, bad things happen, but God is still good," you know what that is? That's the foundation that you can build your life on. Because Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart." Why? Because I have overcome the world. What are you going to do when God disappoints your expectations? This is what Jesus does to John. And this is what he says to John. When his disciples leave, it says, as his disciples were leaving, he then turns to the crowd and talks about John. Which what that means is that everything that he's about to say to the crowd, John doesn't hear. Because his disciples were gone. You would think that if God wanted to encourage you, he would tell you what you thought you needed to hear. And you know what he says to the crowd? There's no one greater born of woman than John. You would think that if Jesus wanted to encourage John, he'd be like, "Hey, yeah, the deaf hear, the blind rise, news proclaimed to the poor. Hey, but also tell John that there's no one better born of woman than him, just to strengthen, just to help him out." You know why Jesus didn't say that? It's because he wanted John's conviction and foundation not to be built on who John was, but on who Jesus was. Jesus then goes to speak to the crowd about John. And what he left John with is something very important. It's basically telling John that, "Hey, I have this under control. There's more to the story than just you." But in our American mindset, we get so consumed with self and what we're going through and what we're feeling that it's all about me, me, me. And God's saying, "Zoom out. Look what I'm doing. Look what's going on." And what he's telling John is this. He's saying that there is a purpose that is greater. There is a plan that is bigger. Come on, say that with me. Say, there is a purpose that is greater. There is a plan that is bigger. I'm looking for 100% participation with this right here, right now. Come on, say it with me. There is a purpose that is greater. There is a plan that is bigger. Now zoom out and see. Zoom out and see. Zoom out and see. That is not always about you, my friend. As much as we want to make this whole Christian walk and journey about us, God has a plan. How can you know God is in control? Because he had a plan. And he still does have a plan, whether you feel like it or not. He can use even the stupid decisions we make for his glory. Because the only thing that's separating from you and the dream that God gave you isn't contingent upon anyone else other than you and God. Because Joseph can get thrown in prison and God can say, "It's all right, I'm not done with you yet. The best is yet to come." Now, I wish I could tell you in this story that it's all fine and dandy for John, you know, but these two stories couldn't be polar opposites in how they turn out. I'm not sure if you're aware of the story of Joseph. We'll get in that to a little bit, but he actually gets promoted. I'll go into it right now. Actually, he actually gets promoted out of prison and becomes a second in command over all of Egypt after 2 years of in prison. I mean, take that for what it is. He was in prison for 2 years before anything moved. But John the Baptist was different. In fact, 2 chapters after this, he actually gets his head cut off and served up on a platter. And I would hate to lead you as a church and say that it's all going to be fine and dandy. And then when difficulties come, you question if it's really real. But what I want to do is strengthen you and let you know that, and though I endure hardship, I endure it as a soldier of Jesus Christ, knowing that the testing of my faith produces perseverance, and that he who began a good work in me will see it through to completion. I wish it didn't. I wish it ended differently. I wish, you know, John got out of prison. We all had a little, like, little party, a little serotonin hit. You know, we went and go Huskers, maybe win a game. You know, who knows? But we celebrate because John got out of prison, but it didn't end that way. Your life isn't always like that either. I just want to tell you guys the truth this morning, you know? But when it happens, what are you going to do? Because it will happen. Hate to break it to you, but the Bible says in the later days that the church will be persecuted. Who knows if that's in the next 10 years, 15 years, 100 years? I don't care. What I know is that difficulties will come in your life. And if I misled you and said that it's all going to be fine and dandy, I'm doing you a disservice. But the choice is, what are you going to do about it? This is what I know, that even though when it doesn't make sense, God is still on the control, on the throne. He is still in control. I said it to you earlier, the thing in the back of our mind really isn't the circumstances we're facing, but it's that ultimate question. God, are you still in control? He is still on the throne. He is still in control. And I asked you that question. I said, hey, what are you going to do when disappointment comes? Because the way God grows your faith is through disappointment. The way the devil destroys your faith is through disappointment. What are you going to do? Are you going to look at it through the lens of God, or are you going to look at it through the lens of yourself? You have a choice to make. And you know what I think the difference is? Your perspective. Your perspective. If you see God is for you, believe me, God is for you. God is with you. If you think God wasn't in that. So where was God the whole time? God comes back to you and says, though the devil meant it for evil, hey, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to bring it for my good, for my purposes. Don't you quit yet, because I'm not done. Don't you give up when it gets hard, because I'm not giving up on you. And if you can base your foundation on who Christ is in you, not even the powers of hell can destroy you. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. I'm not doing it out of my own strength or my own ambition or my own will. I'm finding my strength in Christ Jesus. And my faith is not based on my circumstances being pleasant. My faith is based in that he who began a good work in me will see it through to completion. That's Philippians 1:6. Paul also says in Romans 8, he says, I do not consider the hardship that I'm facing being comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us. If anyone went through a hard time, it was Paul. Oh, you want to talk about a hard time? I've been whipped 39 lashes 4 times, shipwrecked twice. I've had all these things happen to me, and then I got to take care of all the churches. Shoot, I'm just stepping into one church, you know? But I endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, knowing that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. We started off this story with Genesis chapter 39, and it read like this, and I told you to keep it open because we're going to go back to it. So here we are going back to it. It said, when his master, Joseph's master, heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And then we continue reading. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the song, It Is Well. It is well with my soul. That song was written by a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. In the late 1800s, Horatio was a very prominent lawyer at that time, very wealthy man. Had a wife, had 5 kids, and in spring of 1871, he sunk a large portion of his money into the suburbs, the area of Chicago. Well, what happened in October of 71 was the Great Chicago Fire. It burned up all of it. He didn't have anything left that he invested into. Nothing. A few months later, his son died. His only son died. And so in the midst of doing all this, 2 years later, he's like, God, I don't know what's going on. I can't speak for him, but I can only imagine what he's going through. He decides, hey, we're going to go over to England. At that time, he was really good friends with D.L. Moody. If you guys know who Dwight Moody is, he was going to go over to England to help support him in his ministry to England. Moody is a founder of Moody Bible Institute across the United States. That's kind of irrelevant, but that's just why he was going over to England. But he had to stay back because he had to work through zoning issues for the fire. This is still 2 years later. So he sends his wife and four daughters over to England. And halfway into England, the ship wrecks. The boat sinks. And four of his daughters are killed in that boat wreck. And so within a span of 2 years, he lost all of his fortune, his son, and four of his daughters. His wife survived. When she got to England, she telegraphed him back saying these words, saved alone. Saved alone. Him obviously hearing about the wreck, knowing what that means. His daughters are dead. You think if anyone had the right it would be him. So we have this where he's still going to England to meet with his wife, now alone. And on the way there, they make a little bit of a detour and they cross over the point where that ship crashed and his four daughters drowned and died. And he wrote the song. This song is, "It Is Well With My Soul. Though Satan may come at me." The Bible is it's older term, so it's like, so though Satan may buffet, I know in my heart it is well with my soul. Job said it like this: though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Why are you serving God today? Is it for what he can give to you? Because that's not what it's about. My heart will choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I worship. That's why I sing. That though I may go through difficulty, though I may go through hardship, though I may go through trials, tribulation of any kind, I know that you are with me, that you are for me, that your staff, they rod, they comfort me, and they lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, that I would fear no evil because I know you are with me. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. A little bit of a heavier message today, but I want you to see it through God's eyes, not through your own, this morning. Would you lift your hands this morning? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are with us, that you are faithful. You are our ever-present help in time of need. God, that you won't give us anything more than we can handle. God, that there's no storm that we're not paddling through that you don't see. God, that if you said we're going to go to the other side, you will let us get to the other side, but there's no guarantee that wind is going to be for us. But we know in our darkest hour, our greatest need, God, you are there to comfort us. You are there to say, it is I in this storm. It is me in this storm. God, I pray that whatever everyone's going through right now, whether some thinking my son isn't worshiping God or serving God like I thought they would, or maybe it's problems at work. God, there's problems in marriages right now, thinking, God, I thought this was gonna be good. But God, you're saying to them right now, I am not done with you yet. Don't give up. Don't give up because I'm working. I'm working. I'm strengthening you through this. I'm strengthening you through this. The same way a muscle tears and comes back together, don't give up when it tears, because I'm here to help repair. Those are marriages in here. There's people thinking they got let down through miscarriage. There's people thinking that, God, I thought you were gonna help me get pregnant, and they haven't seen it happen. And God says, don't give up. Don't give up on me. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with your marriage. I'm not done with your kids. I'm not done with your work. I'm not done with your family. God, we love you so much. God, you are good and holy in every way. God, I pray that we'd be strengthened during this time. God, that as a church, we'd come out stronger than ever, livelier than ever. God, worshiping you and serving you with greater strength, greater determination. We pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.